from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, broadcasting from the Pods Moving and Storage Studios. It's the Ramsey Show, where we help people build wealth, do work that they actually love, or create actual amazing relationships. Jade Washaw, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Open phones at 888-825-5225. You guys jump in. We'll talk about your life and your money. William is going to start this hour off in Dallas, Texas. Hi, William. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Better than I deserve, man. What's up?
Yeah, I got a question about a prenup. I've listened to a lot of your clips. Some of them kind of applied, some of them didn't, but basically there's a, I own a business and have done well, own some properties, and there's a definitely a large gap between me and my fiance.
What's your net worth?
Net worth, property values are probably like 1.4. I only have 230 in debt on those. And then in cash, I probably got like 750.
What's your business worth?
$7 million.
Okay. So you're a $10 million guy, and she has a more traditional, normal net worth. She's not a freak like you.
I guess not, no.
You're a good freak, though. I like you, so it's good. You're the right kind of freak, man. I'm just saying. All right.
Right on.
Yes, I would get a prenup.
Okay.
I don't believe in prenups. I tell 99% of the people not to get them. The only time in 30 years of coaching that I've run into a situation where I wished someone had had a prenup was where there was a vast disparity between the two people getting married. And 99% of the time, the problem doesn't end up being with the two people. It's not your fiance. It's weird dadgum people in her family that come out of the woodwork and screw up everything. And if she can just hold up the hand and go, nope, can't, I got a prenup. I got nothing to say about that. I got nothing. Because all of a sudden they're like, woohoo, little JoJo married William. Yeah, let's go visit. You know, I mean, this is what, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I do. Yeah.
And that's, and bless your heart, your fiance didn't see it coming because she did not think crazy was going to manifest itself that way in her extended friends or family. And so, and it ends up screwing up y'all's relationship. The prenup actually assists the relationship in this case. So, but for everyone else, I just say, no, if you have to have a prenup to protect your $4, then you don't need to get married.
Correct.
Now, what happens if, you know, your fiance, your girlfriend, what does she think about it?
So that's an issue. You know, she thinks that I, you know, quote unquote, love my money more than her. She's not thrilled, or at least at the beginning wasn't thrilled. And so I basically, you know, because in Texas, you're, you know, everything is common, you know, property once you get married. And so then it all gets split. So I had pretty much, what I had structured was, you know, separating everything and then maybe giving her, like, for every year we're married, if we were to, anything were to happen, you know, she would get a certain amount per year, you know? So I guess my next question would be,
I would not do that. And I would explain to her that this is as much for her benefit as it is yours because of what I just described a few minutes ago. This gives her, this releases her. Anyone, no one of your friends are going to be suspicious that she married a gold digger. None of your family is going to think that she has bad motives. This helps her. And if you want to restructure or do away with the prenup at any point in your life, you can do that.
Okay.
You can just go back into the attorney. The two of you sit down and go, you know what? I'm going to release $5 million over here. But if you do a set thing on the number of years, the year that that kicks in will actually accidentally coincide to the roughest year in your marriage.
Right.
And you will have that roughest year. You know that. So, I mean, why complicate it?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, and you can go in and change it anytime. But I don't. I think I like her being beyond suspicion with all of your friends and relatives. For that matter, her friends. And she also gets to hold up the hand to her crazies that come along.
Mm-hmm.
And go, look, it's William stuff. But and then the, now, having put the prenup in place, that's the legal move, then I would begin to run the relationship as if you own it all together.
That's the key right there. I think that's the key that makes it all mm-hmm. all good.
So in other words, if I were you, I'm going to talk to my wife before I make a big business move.
Mm-hmm. So that she's included. This Absolutely. Is not yeah. just, hey, this is all my mountain over here. You have no access. You don't get to
speak about this.
Yeah.
That's not what we're saying. We're saying right. if this whole thing hits the wall, you don't get any of this. Mm-hmm. That's all we're saying. But that's different than you don't get to speak over it, because mm-hmm. you want her to speak over it. Proverbs 31 absolutely. Is, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, and he will have no lack of gain. I have made more money and built more wealth while listening carefully to my wife, who has a home ec degree and unbelievable hillbilly wisdom.
Now, let me ask another question on your behalf. So your business is worth $7 million now. The prenup is only covering the current value.
No, it would cover the ownership of the business, period.
Period.
Regardless of what it becomes.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's the way I would build it. You can word it that way. You don't have to put a dollar amount on it.
That's interesting, though, because if they get married and now she's speaking into the business is growing, and she still is not... I'm not going to lie, that's a tough one for me.
Okay, let me tell you. She is completely... I'll help you. She's completely benefiting.
Mm-hmm.
If this business is worth $14 million later instead of $7 million, she's going to be eating off
that
table.
That is right.
She gets to fly in that airplane.
But if something happens, even the growth is no longer up for debate.
But again, he can go back and rechange that later.
He can.
And if he looked up and said, look, the reason this business went from $7 million to $25 million is she has really contributed, then you can just remove some of the prenup.
That is true. That's true.
Now, I'm going to run your relationship and your household and all of your business decisions as if she was there when it all began.
Yeah.
And this is my child bride wife that we got married when we were whatever.
Don't say child
little baby
bride.
Children's. I mean, like Sharon and I got married at 22. We were like baby children.
That's Sam and I too. Yeah.
And so we were little children's children. So we got, we were both dumber than a rock. And so we grew the whole thing, crashed it, and then grew another one together.
Yeah,
So there's no question about that.
Yeah.
She owns it. Matter of fact, she technically owns most of it. So, but the point being, I'm gonna run the relationship in a way that you don't lord over her assets or income. She completely participates in those, and so we have an income from our business, unless we're divorced. And then it's not.
And then your boy gets it.
Well, that's it. I mean, it only
turkey toenails.
The prenup only comes up if there's a problem, right?
Yeah.
This is the Ramsey Show. Hey, folks, Dave Ramsey here. There are moments in life we don't want to forget, like your kid's graduation or the once-in-a-lifetime trip. For the big moments, the everyday moments, and everything in between, every dollar is there to help you budget for all of it. It's the simple budgeting app that helps you plan, save, and spend for the important things. Budget for the life you really want, every moment of it. Download the app or check the link in the show notes to create your free account today. Every dollar. Okay, let's clear something up. If you listen to the show for 10 seconds, you know we hate debt. And some people just, for some reason, don't hear that. I don't know. They think you need debt and credit cards to build your credit because you need a credit score to buy a house, right? Wrong. Truth is, if you're living a debt-free lifestyle, eventually you won't have any credit score. So when you're ready to buy a house, you got to find a good lender like Churchill Mortgage who can do what's called manual underwriting. And that's where they personally review your financial history to approve you for a mortgage. Like we did before there was a FICO score. We actually made sure you had a freaking job and stuff. So, wow.
What a concept.
Yeah. So this way you get to avoid the whole credit score game where you borrow money to raise your score so you can borrow money so you can raise your score so you can borrow money so you can raise your score so you borrow money so you can raise your score so you borrow money. Sounds like fun if you're a bank.
Or a dog chasing its tail.
That one too, you know, which are usually dizzy. No pun intended. It might sound crazy to some people, but the best plan for your future is avoid debt. Get a real estate agent. It will help you find a house you can actually afford. Get it paid off as soon as possible. And we recommend agents who are Ramsey trusted. These are agents that are high octane, high protein. They didn't get their license last week, and they're not your Uncle Charlie who's guilt tripping you. This is your freaking house. It's the largest asset you have. So you can buy a house without a credit score, and you can work with an absolute professional, and you need to. RamseySolutions.com/agent to get a Ramsey-trusted real estate agent. RamseySolutions.com/agent. Nathan in Oklahoma City, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Dave?
Better than I deserve. What's up?
Well, just got a question for you. So I'm 28 years old, and I just hit baby step 7 about 7 months ago.
Boom!
Wow.
And thank you. And I'm currently like rebuilding my emergency and stuff because I deleted my accounts for being debt free. And I'm just kind of curious where to go now because I'm kind of lost with the whole like where to invest my money right now.
What accounts What accounts did you delete?
Well, my checking and my savings. Like okay. I cleared them all so I could be debt free, pay off the house.
Okay.
And now that I'm 100% debt free, I've got my 6 months emergency saved, and now I am investing in my, I have two Roth accounts, one through work, and then a Roth IRA.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Good.
And then I do 10% my TSP.
Mm-hmm.
And apart from that, I'm just, you know, kind of saving money and living life every day, really, but I need a goal, and my goal is to get more money, but that seems really kind of boring, honestly. I mean, just to do it that way, and I'm not 100% sure if that's doing the right thing.
Nathan, you're in danger.
Okay.
You're in danger of messing all this up.
Gotcha.
Because the fastest way to get rich is boring.
Uh-huh.
And if you go screwing around with get rich quick, trying to be cool, you're going to lose all of the progress you have made. And you got the, you know, one of the things I ran into when I first started coaching wealthy people years ago was they had this latent guilt, like I've got $2 million, but I don't feel like I'm doing it right. Like there must be something sophisticated. These smart people are doing stuff I don't know how to do. And they're the ones with the $2 million. And they're doing very simplistic, primitive, basic things. And they got wealthy. But they, you know, they certainly did not buy crypto.
Right.
You know, they certainly are not doing nothing down tic-tac real estate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not trying to get rich quick. They're not trying to do a double helix backflip family partnership that they read about on Instagram because it's a sure-fired way to lose your butts, what it is. You know, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So the tortoise and the hare was the sexy, cool one. He lost the race.
Uh-huh.
The tortoise was ugly and steady and predictable and boring.
Right.
Please be boring.
Well, now, Dave, all of us tortoises don't have to be ugly now.
You done got personal, Dave. Well, yeah, no. And seriously, but the point being the plan is all of your smart friends who are broke but wear clothes they can't afford, drive cars they can't afford, and go on vacations they can't afford, all of your smart friends will make fun of your tortoise plan.
That's right. That's right.
But they're the sexy hares. They're the ones that the rabbit that's cool. They light all the look. You know, they look like they got it all together, and they got nothing, 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 nada.
It's almost like
got a headache. That's all they got.
It's almost like we want there to be like this secret of the wealthy that only a few people can get their hands on. And
well,
then
I really wanted that because I'm really smart at math. And so I knew if it was complicated and difficult, I could do it.
That must be it.
That I would be able to do it. And so just show me the complicated double backflip barrel of fish hooks, and I'll get it. I'll be able to do it. Pride comes right before the fall.
Right before it. Nope. Any Joe can do it. You just got to be steady, boring.
You know, consistent now what you can, what you can do is you can pay very close attention to your accounts, and just go, okay, yeah, I'm going to be steady, but I'm also going to make sure that sucker's maximizing.
That's right. That is true.
I'm not going to be ADD. I'm not going to take my hand off the wheel, hand off the wheel, hand off the wheel. I'm going to drive straight through, but I'm going to be very diligent and go, okay, this accounts for this accounts for that, and I'm goal oriented, and those are things that you are, Nathan, that are very good. And obviously, I was being a little bit dramatic to make sure you got the message, but you've done very well.
Now, I would also say in his situation, we recommend everybody work with a SmartVestor Pro or somebody with their investments, but a guy like him really needs that accountability to not get like, oh, the market's being weird, or I feel like my guy told me about this thing over here I need to be trying.
He's not going to function in fear. He's going to make bad decisions out of greed.
Mm. Well, even
that's,
still.
That's where I was stopping him on, because I know that guy, because I was him.
Yeah.
Because I'm smart. I don't, this is too slow.
And that's
about the time you're about to step on it. So just you gonna get something on your shoe. Jonathan's in Lexington, Kentucky. Hey, Jonathan, what's up?
Hi, Dave. Thank you guys for taking my call.
Sure. How can we help?
I'm getting my way through these baby steps, and I'm trying to think of ways to get through faster. I've also developed my career goals and educational goals, and I just wanted your opinion. I have a project car that I've had for about 3 years now. I haven't been able to get much done on it, and I'm wondering if I should sell it. So just wondering what you guys think.
I'm not sure, but I think in the 30 seconds we've been together, you told me your goals have changed.
What do you mean?
What? Like from the time 3 years ago when you bought this car, you had a goal of doing a project car. And I think today you don't have the same goal. You have other goals that are a priority over the car.
Yeah, I absolutely love this car.
I didn't ask that.
As much as it should be.
I just said your goals have changed. I probably love the car, but I don't have a goal of owning it because I don't even know what it is yet, but I probably like it. What is it?
It's a 1986 Z31. Nissan 300ZX.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah. What are you doing to it? What are you supposed to be doing to it?
Well, it's pretty solid mechanically, but ever since I've owned it, I've let people drive it, and it's gotten pretty dinged up and depreciated. So basically, just I wanted to do a rebuild, but I'm trying to pay off this debt.
Yeah, but it's a body rebuild. Okay, yeah. So yeah, I mean, I think the car served its purpose. I thought I heard you say that in between all these other things. I have new educational goals. I have investment goals. I have these other goals. When I bought the car, I didn't have those goals. Now I've got some competing goals, and the car is further down on the list. Did I hear that?
That's it. Your priorities changed. Car went down the list.
Is that right, Jonathan?
Yeah, and also the time and effort it would take to get it done. Yeah.
And I'd rather be working on my educational goal.
There's your answer.
I see what you mean.
Yeah. I thought I heard that in there. Yeah. There's project car on every corner. Most people drive project cars. So, yeah. Sell it just because you'd rather do other things, I think. This is the Ramsey Show.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey, if you're like me at this time of the year, all of the school plays and meetings and invites from everywhere have completely drained your social battery. Or maybe you're like some of my friends who are bursting with energy so much that everyone may be telling you to just chill out a little. If you're having trouble navigating mismatched energy levels, boundaries, or finding people to do life with, it might be time to talk to a therapist. Therapy can be a place to open up with someone who's been trained to listen and walk alongside you and help you find paths through the chaos of mismatched energy levels and more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, try BetterHelp. BetterHelp is completely online and flexible enough to fit your schedule. Just fill out a short questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no extra cost. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Deloney today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/Deloney.
Thank you for joining us, America. We're glad you're here. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Jade Washall Ramsey, personality, is my co-host today as we answer your questions about your life and your money. Tara is in Houston, Texas. Hi, Tara. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. How are you, Dave?
Better than I deserve. What's up?
Okay, so I have been working the program for a while. I'm on baby step two, so I'm still paying off some debt. I am almost 39 years old. I've never had a 401k, and the company that I work for just approached me with that. They do match 100% up to 3%, and then up to 6%, they match 50%. So my question is, I still have about $40,000 in debt to pay, but I wasn't sure if I should go ahead and start putting in the 401k since I'm so far, like I'm so far behind. So I feel like I'm going to be playing catch up. And since I don't have anything, starting from zero. but I don't know if I should take that money and you start putting it in now or wait until my $40,000 is completely paid off.
So we get people who call in all the time and they have done what you want to do. They've just went ahead and started investing, not built their savings, not paid off their debt. And then an emergency comes and suddenly their 401k becomes their emergency fund. That's thing number one. So I'm just going to give you a couple of thoughts to just let them sink in on why this is not a good idea. And honestly, if you're following our plan, the way we teach is you pause. If you currently investing, you pause, take that money in your case, you weren't already. So you've got all of your income at your disposal to pay off this debt. You've got 40K left, keep moving through this. And then when the time comes, you're going to be able to take advantage of that.
How much have you paid off already?
I've paid off around almost $6,000.
$6,000.
And I could have $6,000, and I could have done more. I haven't been.
How long have you been working on that?
About 4 months.
And what do you make?
My salary is $95,000 a year, and I get about $20,000 to $30,000 in bonuses.
Okay. Where is all your money going to?
I know it's going on. Well, my debt and two cars is mm-hmm. where it is.
Why do you have two cars?
Because I went through a divorce and uh-huh. I had one car payment and I ended up giving it to my daughter who is 16 and bought myself a new car.
Oh.
And that's how I got in the trap of two car payments.
And so you have $40,000 in debt, and how much of the 40 is cars?
38.
Oh.
And what do you owe on your car?
28 on mine and 10 on hers.
Okay. All right. And she's 16.
She's 18 now.
18. Is she working?
She is.
Okay. All right. So the plan that we teach, don't start investing until you're out of debt, assumes that you're going to lean in and get out of debt with great focused intensity that you don't have.
Right.
Okay. You're playing footsie with this idea. You haven't leaned in and said, I'm selling everything in sight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting out of debt. I'm sick and tired of being broke. I make $90,000 a year. I got nothing. I'm 39. I'm scared. I'm going to go get me some. And I'm going to get my debt cleaned up yesterday. I'm not going out to eat. I'm not going on vacation. And please don't talk to me about a new purse. You are getting out of debt. And you're not at that level. You're just kind of intellectually exploring this. You've not emotionally engaged it. Is that fair?
It is.
Yeah. So that's why this seems appealing to you to go ahead and jump into the 401k, because it feels like you're going to be in debt forever, and it feels like that because you're going to be in debt forever.
Right.
Unless you change.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do whatever you want to do. Obviously, you're a grown-up lady. You've got a great intellect. You can do a lot of things. You can go be normal and start the 401k while you try to limp out of this debt and keep making these same mistakes. Or if you're going to work our plan, which is you called us, so that was your mistake. Because we love you, and we are going to tell you the truth. And so
that's right. And you're tripping right now.
Yeah. So, you know, 18-year-old is going to save up $3,000 in the next couple months and buy a car, and we're going to sell her car. Mm-hmm. You're going to sell your car, and we're going to get you out of debt in a few months. Probably by Christmas, you're going to be driving a couple of $5,000 cars, and you'll be debt-free. Build your emergency fund of 3 to 6 months of expenses, then save up and get you a little better car, and you're 100% debt-free but the house at this point, and then you can start putting, by this time next year, easily, you'll be putting 15% of your income away for retirement. And if you put 15% of $90,000 away from age 41 to age 65, you will have several million dollars.
Mm-hmm. Really?
But if you keep doing what you're doing now, you're going to have nothing. Except rusted cars with payments on them.
We had a girl in my Financial Peace University class, which, by the way, if you haven't taken that, you need to get signed up for that. She was your age. She had about $19,000 left to pay off. She was so worried that she was not going to have anything in retirement because she had not started investing. Right then and there, we walked through the financial roadmap plan, and we walked through and we were able to show her that by the time she pays off her debt, if she just puts the 15% away, she was going to retire with $2 million.
You'll be at more than that,
and you'll be at more because I remember what her income was. But
yeah, you start saving 15% of $100,000, and you do that for over 25 years. That's about $3 million. I mean, and that's if you don't get a raise,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to get raises.
You've got time,
so you've got time, but you don't have time to keep doing what you've been doing. Because if you keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Which is embracing car payments, because car payments are a way of life, and I have to have a good car because I'm a divorcee and I'm scared to death the car is going to break, and I have to have a good car for my kid because I'm scared to death my daughter, obviously she's female, mm-hmm. is going to have a breakdown.
Right,
and
on the side
I'm
of the road.
Scared and mm-hmm. I'm scared and I'm scared and I'm scared and I'm scared, and so I'm paying car payments on $40,000 worth of cars while I make 90 and I'm broke. That's what that fear is doing to you.
Yeah.
And so, and by the way, I'm not asking you and the 18-year-old to drive $3,000 to $5,000 cars for the rest of your life. I'm asking you to drive them for a chapter in your life so that you never have to drive them again.
Mm-hmm.
I can assure you I did not drive a $5,000 car over here today. Quite the contrary. I drive whatever I want these days.
Mm-hmm.
But I paid a price for the last 35 years by staying out of debt and only buying things I could afford. And then I've got the money.
I hear that.
That's the way it works.
Look.
So, yeah, live like no one else so later you can live like no one else. You're a sharp lady, Tara. I appreciate you calling in. Thank you for joining us, and apologize for picking on you, but just know it's because we love you, mm-hmm. and we want you to win. And but Jade, there's something, and we just got a minute for the break, but it's very smart to say this. There, you cannot sort of do things that require you to transform your life.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to create transformation, you have to push yourself over to the edge of extreme.
Yeah,
I agree. You have to do really whacked out weird things. And then once you've reset your life,
mm-hmm.
you reset the grooves in your brain, your habit patterns, mm-hmm. your spiritual beliefs. Once you've reset those things by doing the extreme,
mm-hmm.
then you can do something less extreme, much less extreme,
yeah.
and still stay on track. But, in other words, if you're 350, 400 pounds and you want to lose weight, you have to shock your system
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
by doing extreme things.
Yeah, you throw out all the cupcakes, you throw out all the crap in the cabinet.
For a period of time, you can't touch anything that looks like mm-hmm. that, or that.
Mm-hmm.
For a period of time, you got to go over there. Now, later on, if you're 180 pounds, you can have a cupcake.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not suggesting debt at that point. I still don't do debt.
Right.
But I mean, my point is you can breathe a little bit, be a little bit more normal. But I'm suggesting, Tara, that we push you over to the extreme and you do weird, uncomfortable things for a bit to get yourself on track permanently.
You manage your habits. Yeah, that's good.
This is The Ramsey Show. J. Jade Washaw, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Courtney's in Atlanta. Hi, Courtney. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for taking my call today.
Sure. What's up?
Okay. So I have fallen into the student loan conundrum. All of my debt is in student loans. I'm 30 years old. I have about $300,000 in student loans. And I am engaged, have been for the past 3 years, because we are scared to get married. We, just because of the debt, we are nervous to buy a home. We are currently renting, and we want to get free. We are completely new to you and your show and your plan. So we just want to go.
I understand why you're scared with $300,000 in student loan debt. Why does that affect getting married?
Mm-hmm. It doesn't. I guess.
Well, it did. You told me you've been waiting 3 freaking years.
Right. So I guess neither one of us just want to go to the courthouse and get married, but.
You want to be able to pay for something nicer is what you're saying.
Right. But
are you a doctor or a lawyer?
I'm actually a pharmacist.
What are you earning?
100 and a half.
Actually it's more like 122 maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
Gross.
Does mm-hmm. that feel low?
It's a little low, but you're starting. You just got out. So,
correct.
How long have you been out of school?
For the past 3 years.
Okay. All right.
What's his situation?
I got an undergrad degree before I actually went into school, pharmacy school.
What does he make?
He makes 60, mm-hmm. and then he also gets bonuses.
Does he have a bunch of debt too?
He actually has no debt. He has very minimal like credit history. Mm-hmm. So we actually did seek out, you know, mortgage pre-approval, mm-hmm. and we got it, but it was basically,
you don't need to buy a house. You're broke.
So let me tell you a story.
That's where we're at.
Let me tell you a story. My husband and I had $280,000 of student loans, a little less than you, but if you add our credit cards in, we are, you know, call it 300.
Yeah, no credit cards for us.
My point is, your income is a lot better than ours was back then, at least to start. And for you guys, it doesn't matter. Like Dave said, getting married is not the issue. Matter of fact, go ahead and get married, work on this thing together and go through it together. And you're just going to have to walk through these steps and commit to the fact that we've got this debt here for a couple of years. We're living on nothing to get this paid off. Luckily, you guys have got a good shovel. I'm sorry. You've got a good income. And that's it. It's just the student loans, right?
And Courtney, you feel stuck, don't you?
I really do.
And you feel a little bit ashamed to marry him and hand him $300K.
Yeah.
Like you're going, this is pretty serious dowry here. Yeah. That's an old word, but yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so it is messing up, not getting married, but it's messing up your view of yourself and your relationships.
Also difficult to budget because, you know, we want to have one bank account.
You don't need to have one bank account until you're married.
Correct. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Let me project a future for you that you haven't seen. Let's run some numbers for a second. Okay. Go get married this weekend.
Okay.
No, just ride with me on my little trip here, okay? For a second. It sounds absurd, but you've been dating for 3 years. You've been engaged forever. We'll celebrate in other ways later. Now, if I calculated correctly, you make 122, he makes 60. That's 182. He has no debt. We have now one house to support. One set of rent, one set of heat and air, one set of electricity, one set of water, one set of things in the refrigerator. You with me?
Right.
So your living costs go down approximately in half.
I also have a car payment.
Oh, what do you owe on your car?
20.
Okay. We'll put that in the story too. Okay. Now, so you make 122, he makes 60. And he has bonuses on top of that. What do you think he'll really make in the coming 12 months, including his bonuses?
probably maybe 170 with the, I mean, maybe 70 with the bonus.
Okay. And I know this about you. You may not, but you can pick up pharmacy duty in the ER at the local hospital on the weekends, and you can make another 25 or 30 if you put in a whole bunch more hours than you're putting in as a temporary right. measure. Okay. And so now I'm at 155 and 70. So I think I'm doing 2.25 now. Anybody with me here? I got $300,000 in student loan debt, and I'm going to take my 2.25 and I'm going to live on 50. That leaves me 175 minus taxes to put on the 300. You're debt free in 2 years.
Just by picking up extra hours.
Picking up extra hours, living together, married.
On 50.
And, mm-hmm. and spending no money. You're not eating out. You're not going on vacation, and you're sure as crud not buying a house. We might be selling your car.
Right.
To get a cheaper car. But the goal here is to get free, because otherwise we're stuck. We want to get free so we can buy a house and live a great life together and build wealth.
And have kids.
And have kids mm-hmm. and be generous. But right now, you can't see that because you've got Mount Everest stuck between you and hope.
Right.
And I just took Mount Everest apart with a pickaxe in 2 years. I did that.
Right.
But I'm telling you, you're gonna it's gonna be a really hard 2 years, because all the little luxuries yeah. you're accustomed to, none of them. You get nothing. Don't you dare right. see the inside of a restaurant unless you're working there.
Yeah. So
tuna fish.
I did have a second,
and day old bread.
I agree. Yes. So I guess the biggest thing was, I did hear several of your advices to other people, just being like, don't rely on public service loan forgiveness. Do it yourself.
I just got you out of debt in 2 years. Why would you even bring that up?
Right. Well, because I guess my fiance sees it as a way out.
It's not a way out. It's a 10-year lie. You know what percentage of the public loans, public service loans forgiveness actually get forgiven? Less than 2%. 98% get screwed by this plan.
Right.
Think about the way you're feeling right now. Do you want to feel that for the next 10 years? Waiting on something that likely won't happen.
Yeah, the reason he wants you to plug into that, he doesn't think there's another way. But you guys make a lot of money together.
You sure do.
And you can make even more and spend none of it and throw it all at the student loans and kill that sucker.
Mm-hmm.
150 a year for 2 years out of 2.25, and you're free.
Mm-hmm. You're going to be done in 2 years. It took my husband and I 7.5. Put that in perspective.
Okay.
And we rented the whole time. So
and you had
let
babies.
That make you. And we had, that was after the fact.
I know.
But for you, 2.5 years.
It wasn't after the 7 years, was it?
Yeah, it was after the 7 years.
Oh, you didn't
years.
Have any kids till after 7?
We waited. Okay. We rented for, here's the stats. We rented for 10 years and waited for mm-hmm. 11 years to have kids.
Wow.
Yep.
Because wow. it was doing to her what you thought it was doing yes. to you before this phone call.
Right.
Now,
right.
I might be off by a year.
Mm-hmm.
But whoopee.
And that's fine.
3 years. Whoopee.
Mm-hmm.
I might be off by another year. You might do it in a year and a half because mm-hmm. you guys just go
that's
bananas
right.
and your husband goes, hey, game on. I'm working 24/7. We're getting done. Get married this weekend and kill this debt, girl. Do it.
Well, I appreciate your advice. I feel like
she's not going to do it. Everybody in America just heard that. You are not. Thank you for your advice. Thank you for calling, Courtney.
Please do it. Please prove us wrong.
Oh, hey, if you don't do it after this, you know whose fault it is, Courtney? Yours. Because we have done our job. Thank you for calling, kiddo. Oh, my goodness gracious. That just happened with 22 million people agreeing. This is The Ramsey Show. Dave here. You can find all of our shows with the Ramsey Network app on your smartphone. It's the only place to listen to the entire back catalog of episodes. Download the Ramsey Network app in your favorite app store today.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.